All right, let's talk about investing with Joe Lopresti. He's the guy who runs the show at Arlington Capital Management. Good afternoon, Joe. Sorry you're not with us. It's a beautiful day in the city.
Hi, Bill. Good morning, or good afternoon.
Where are you that you would say good morning? Are you in the Hawaii?
No, not quite that far west. I'm in California.
All right. Let me talk about this for a second. Last week I saw that a money management company called Natix Global Asset Management, they commissioned a $1 million three-year study. MIT is one of the institutions that's involved with this study. They're trying to figure out how investors can bridge the emotional gap between those two forces that are always at work, conflicting forces. That is the desire to generate great investment returns, but an aversion to taking risk to generating those returns. Now, the common advice that people have heard for years is the market will be up in the long run, so buy and hold. That's your best strategy. And on paper, you look at, say, the S&P over the last few decades, it's had a good long-term record. But, Joe, is that realistic? Because I know that is not a philosophy that you go by.
Well, that's correct. I think the buy-and-hold approach, or what we like to call passive investing, is by far the most common and popular type of strategy used by individual investors who manage their own money, but also a lot of professional investors who are, financial planners or investment advisors. And, you know, that's a big debate, whether that passive approach to managing your money is the optimal way to do it. It would certainly be nice if all we had to do was buy and hold and spread our money out and expect that the markets were going to take care of us. But something tells me it's a little bit more difficult than that to get good returns with your investment.
Well, especially when you consider the downturns that markets inevitably take, including what happened in 2008 and 9. Are we supposed to just sit there and smile as our portfolios fall 50% in value?
Right. Well, that's the big, you know, the big thing that investors have really, I think, become, I don't want to say accustomed to, but are expecting another big decline to come. And I think for many investors that experienced the first two big declines that we've seen in the last, say, 15 years, they're a little afraid to get back involved in the market to the same extent that they were previously. And that's held them back. And you know, if you have a sell discipline, Bill, a way to identify when big downtrends are developing, then it gives you the confidence to invest more aggressively during the uptrends, first and foremost. But secondly, it also gives you then that sell discipline to know when you could get out of the way of bear markets, you know, the type that we experienced in 2008 and then when the tech stock bubble burst back in 2001.
That's Joe Lopresti. He handles the risk of investing for you. He does his strategy called Proactive Investing Strategy at Arlington Capital Management. How have earnings look? We're into earnings season now. They've been, it seems like, pretty good, but the market really hasn't gone up in a significant way for a week or two.
No, they haven't. I think good earnings were expected first, so they were kind of built into high valuations that stocks have. And earnings have been good, but that's already expected. So the market is not going to move on what's already expected. Only the unexpected is what causes the market to move.
Heard a funny piece on the radio yesterday from New York saying that in Wall Street, they're really having trouble making money right now, not through investing, but just basically because of the fact that the volumes are so low and there's not a lot of buying and selling going on, and that's where they make their money, on the spread.
Wall Street firms. Well, certainly volume has been down. Participation in the market has been down.
Volatility down?
Volatility's way down, yes. We've had a very low volatile move in the market over the last year or so. But that's a bound to change. You know, that I think the market has a tendency to kind of lull people to sleep at certain times. I have a feeling that's what is happening now, where nothing seems to be shaking the market, right? We have all this news around the world, in the Middle East and in Russia and Ukraine, yet nothing seems to be bringing the market down right now. So investors are kind of getting that sense of complacency, and usually when that happens, the market's getting ready to do something that is unexpected and probably increase volatility and maybe some downside moves is what we would expect over the next 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, you're not kidding about the market not really taking notice of cataclysmic global affairs. I mean, heck, we're hitting more highs. What was it, the S&P once again this week popped at another high. It's just surprising because usually those are the things, geopolitical issues, that are the big triggers for all kinds of worry on Wall Street.
Geopolitical things do tend to have, increase the volatility, but usually very short term. You know, when they say the market's hitting new highs, I think you have to look at what the headlines are telling you and then what's actually happening underneath the surface. Headlines are telling you the market's at new highs, but, for example, this week, while the market was at new highs, less than half of the stocks in the U.S. are above their 50-day average. So you're not getting a lot of participation yet. Apple and the real large weighted companies that have come out with good earnings have hit new highs, and that helps like indices like the S&P hit a new high. But the average stock really isn't at its high. And that, to me, is telling you that the market is not as strong internally as you would expect it to be when the S&P is at a high.
Yeah, you just mentioned a minute ago the volatility will likely pick up in the near term. And a lot of people, and I think you've been talking about this, do say that there is likely to be sometime in the next few months a correction.
It's bound to happen. There hasn't been a correction. You know, when we say correction, the typical investor would define a correction as a 10% drop in the market. That hasn't happened for 3 years now. 2011 was the last 10% correction.
Now, would that be then a 1,000 points at least, like a 1,800-point drop? Wouldn't that be about where 10% would take us down?
For the Dow, that would be, yes, approximately 1,700-point drop because it hit 17,000. So 10% would be a 1,700-point drop.
Yeah, that would be a scary thing to go through. If you've got a question about investing, you can call us right now at 312-981-7200. You can also do the text thing at that same number if you want to do that via your smartphone. Talking with Joe Lopresti. He's the man who makes the main decisions at Arlington Capital Management. Joe, let me ask you about what the airlines are doing. They're spending tons of money, and I mean in the terms of billions of dollars, in stock buybacks. Why are they doing that right now?
Well, I think they're doing the same reason that most other companies would decide to buy back stock, Bill, and that is they look around and try to determine what's the best use of their capital that's going to give them the best return on investment. And I think that a lot of companies have decided that buying back stock is the best way to increase earnings at the fastest rate because you're reducing the share float when you do that. Therefore, there's more earnings to go around per share.
Doesn't it allow a company to show good faith in their own abilities in running the company?
Well, certainly. I think that's a way of returning money to shareholders. Dividends are another way of doing that. And it does show increased confidence that they don't need the cash, so therefore they want to return that money to shareholder. When they're buying back stock, they're returning it to shareholders by increasing the earnings per share that the shareholders have. But in another way, it might not be a great sign of confidence in, opportunities to grow their business. So if they had opportunities to invest in a growth and expansion of their business, another way to increase earnings, they would choose to do that. So I think a lot of companies have chosen the path of increasing dividends and buying back stock because there aren't real strong growth opportunities within their industry.
Joe, do they ever do that when a company's on the ropes and they're sort of desperate and they're trying to say, look, at least we have faith in our own company. We wouldn't be buying the stock otherwise.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever remember an example of that. I think it's more that companies have a lot of cash on the balance sheets, Bill. It's a well-known fact that corporations are very flush with cash, and there's a record amount of cash on corporate balance sheets. So it's a struggle of what to do with that cash, and if you hold too much cash, then you get the activists to kind of come after you and try to get you to do something with that cash, like they did with Apple. And, of course, that forced Apple to increase their dividends not too far back and to also announced some large share buybacks of their own.
Yeah, that was interesting. I do remember that. Was that Carl Icahn? Was he the one that moved that?
I do believe it was Carl Icahn, yeah. So there's a lot of activists out there, and they're going to these companies that are sitting on cash and kind of forcing them to do something with it.
Here's Jim joining us in the conversation. Hi, Jim. You're on WGN talking to Joe Lopresti. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. One, my wife is going to be retiring, and she's going to take a lump sum on her pension, and we're wondering, is it worthwhile to invest in gold at this time? Now, some of them are predicting that it's going to get up to 2,000. And the second question I have is, and once I ask it, I'll hang up and I'll listen to your answer. My second question is, my daughter her loan was sold, her mortgage loan was sold to another company, and the company now is trying to have her refinanced. And the question is, should we go with an ARM as opposed to a fixed, 30-year or 15-year, flat rate month?
Well, Joe, okay. I don't know if you're – go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I'll take both those questions. As far as your wife's potential investment in gold, Jim, that may require a little bit more discussion. I think gold might be part of a broader asset allocation strategy. If you look at gold relative to other investment opportunities today, I don't see it being as strong of an opportunity as, say, it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. But gold's been a weak asset class. So we've been avoiding gold for our investors. Stocks, I think, are a much better asset class for you to consider, better growth globally with stocks than with gold. As far as the adjustable versus fixed mortgage, that's really a call on interest rates. If you're expecting interest rates to go up, then you should go with the fixed mortgage. If you're not expecting to go up, you should stay with the adjustable mortgage. Well, I don't think anybody can really tell you what interest rates are going to be doing over the next 30 years that would be the life of your daughter's mortgage. So a lot of that has to be based on what she could afford. And if she could afford the fixed rates, I would probably suggest locking in the fixed rates, because mortgages are pretty low from a historical perspective.
And with what the Fed is going to do by ending the bond buyback in, I think it was October coming up, isn't that going to be a likely trigger to increase interest rates?
Well, it could be, Bill, but that's what people said a year ago when they first started announcing that they were going to be reducing, the quantitative easing and maybe raising interest rates. But, from an interest rate perspective, I think you just have to look globally. There's 17 other countries that have lower 10-year treasury bond yields than the U.S. Spain's 10-year treasury bond yield is about the same as ours. France is 1.7%. So why would our interest rates go up that much if many other countries' interest rates are that low? I just don't see that happening as many people expect.
You got your eye on the ball, Joe, always watching all those details that are happening and changing day by day. Joe, thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Will you be back?
I will.
All right. See you here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joe Lopresti, he's the guy who makes the big decisions at Arlington Capital Management. We'll tell you more about that in just a second here on the Bill Mahler Show on 720 WGN Chicago.